This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story is worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm with my friend Sean Bowles. My name is Bob Hassan. Sean, are we doing anything interesting today?
I wouldn't do the show if we weren't. I mean, today on the show, we're going to talk all about, you're going to like this, Bob. We're talking about AI and how it's shaping every aspect of what's coming in the business world and every career path, pretty much. And we're going to talk about why we're alive. Like, why did God bring us alive when there's the biggest change since maybe the Industrial Revolution? I think there's purpose in it for those who are alive right now. And also, we're going to then talk to Crystal Parker, who's the president of, you may not have heard of this yet, but it's coming to a city near you, the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce. And she has some of the most incredible experience in her life of just what she's done in life. And I mean, she has a, you know, master's degree from Harvard. She has, you know, like this incredible West Texas oil job that women don't usually get into. I mean, just incredible. But when God intercepted her life, he's really brought the most out of her life. And it's really going to affect a lot of people. But not only her rich work background, but also we're going to be talking about how this can affect you today and some of her story, which is going to be so great.
All right, Sean. So what are we doing on Real Topics? What are we talking about today? You just said AI, and I don't even know what that means.
Yes, you do. Artificial intelligence. You know what it is. But here we go, Bob. This is like the AI revolution is upon us. And I don't know if you know this, but the AI market is going to reach about $407 billion over the next few years. So this is one of the biggest markets of any type there is in the world. And is AI common grace for all? Like, is it a thing that's going to give grace for everyday living that God's bringing? Or is it the real life terminator? And that's a question a lot of Christians are grappling with, because so many people put the eschatological circumstances of what AI could be in the bad. But we have to realize that all good things come from God first. So there's a lot of good reasons why AI is on the earth. That's going to solve a lot of problems and help a lot of people. But I may say a little tongue-in-cheek with the Terminator thing, but there's also elements, because it's how many people who are controlling this have not put good guardrails around it. And there's a lot of people with liberal agendas that are so progressive and socialistic, like in China and other places, that it could be really scary what it does. So we really believe, I believe, that we're supposed to populate the AI fields as Christians as fast as possible, because we could be, like the Bible says, the head and not the tail. And this could be a really good spiritual thing, especially for stewarding the biblical mandate, where we live in a generation of all kinds of intelligences. We have emotional intelligence and creative intelligence. And more recently, now we have artificial intelligence, which is really a broad field of computer science study, designing systems to think and act like humans, from playing games to driving vehicles. And you may not know this, Bob, but one out of every 10 vehicles in the next 8 years will be driven by AI. So we're in a new day.
It's interesting you're bringing this up. I was just at an industry meeting, and I was talking to a construction executive in a top 50 construction company, and they said they had a whole AI department. And
wow.
I was asking them what they're using AI for, and they said everything from letter writing to estimating and everything in between. But it's so new and so growing that they've had to dedicate all these resources towards it, which led me in my business to have a meeting with my senior team and ask the question, what do we use AI for, and how is it scary? Because everything I've heard about is like deep fake photos and whatever you see in the news. Well,
that's the top concern people have, is misinformation, and it's going to be a propagation factory for terrible propaganda. But that's the predominant use of AI right now is actually extremely helpful. So we don't actually have as much misinformation problems as we have benefits from all the AI. I mean, the average company is using ChatGPT daily. The average phone user, 50% of phone users use their AI every day. They say, hey, Siri, or hey, Alexa, or whatever, can you tell me what the weather's going to be, or which way I should drive? That's all AI. And so we're using it and getting great benefits already. And I remember, and you were just a little younger than my parents, and I'm not saying that to age you at all. But my parents didn't grow up with computers at all. So they were not early adopters. They were extremely late adopters to computers. My parents didn't have emails until maybe the late 90s. They didn't really care about it. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to visit my dad, who's now, you know, massively retired, hanging out at home. and he's at his iPad device and just like doing solitaire or whatever, crossword puzzles, hanging out, watching Fox News or whatever he does. You know, I'm like looking at him going, you used to hate this stuff. Any video games were evil and you hated screen time. And now this is one of the main ways you spend your life. So we've seen a whole generation not only adopt technology, but their lives are lived around it. And when you add AI, a lot of people think it's going to be like social networking. Like social networking has an internet, like Facebook and Twitter and these kinds of things have actually brought a lot of destruction. And so a lot of people are afraid of AI for bringing the same thing. But so far, the main impact AI has had has been actually beneficial, not destructive so far.
Right. And so I'm learning that and wanting to be careful about it. I have a bunch of younger guys and gals who work for me who are embracing it. And I'm seeing some of the benefit. One of my younger staff just wrote this incredible letter. And he said, can you proof this before I send it in an email? And I read it and I said, where did that come from? I mean, that you're a genius. And he laughed. He said, AI.
Exactly, ChatGPT, brother.
I don't know if that's what it was, but it was an incredible letter. So I'm interested in this. But I remember about 10 years ago reading in the Wall Street Journal an article about this upcoming AI and what it would do to workers. That AI would displace workers. And so there was an argument pro and con about that. What do you know about that? Because I remember it in my head.
Yeah, Forbes has just put out an article for 2024 about this. And I didn't tell you I had this article, but I'm just reading through it. There is the downside of about 400 million workers in the world before 2030 will lose their jobs. But they're expecting 98 million new types of jobs to come each year before then. So it's actually more jobs will be gained, but it'll be in different industries. Right. So remember when even the robotics revolution, when all of a sudden robots start taking over factories all over and a lot of factory workers lost their jobs. Well, the good thing about that was that everything's more efficient. We're able to get things done faster. And the effects of those job losses, it just created where those people had to pick jobs in different fields. Now, if you talk to someone like, I love Mike Rowe, who's the guy from Dirty Jobs, who he's become an advocate in America for the blue collar jobs. He's saying the one types of jobs that will not be taken over for at least for a long time by the robotics industry or by AI is blue collar jobs, which you only need a very limited amount of time for training versus a 4, 6, or 8 year degree. You need like a 6 month, 8 month, 12 month degree to actually make $80,000 to $150,000 and actually have a really honest job. So I can't remember the number, Bob, but there's a huge gap in blue collar jobs that are available now for people to work right now in America, that there's no end to those jobs. It's just that a lot of people, they're being told in school, you can do whatever you dream of, and they're trying to become YouTubers, and it's just not working. As a matter of fact, some of the top YouTube channels are now run by AI. They're literally scripted, and the videos are created by AI. Mm-hmm. And so just to know that a lot of media, it's not going to be the best way for most people to have a job, especially the social media thing where everyone's an influencer. That's going to end soon. That's not going to be the same 10 years from now where anybody can get involved at any time on this level and they can be sponsored by it. So we are going to see a huge shift and change from this. But ultimately, I think of the scripture, I'm going to bring it back to just a God thing because, Isaiah 54 says this. It's Isaiah 54, verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. And there's this concept in the Bible that we're co-creators with God and that he wants us to create, and that there's something inside of us that wants to create, just like God created us in his image, that there's something inside of us that wants to create help in our own image. And AI is ultimately reflecting the image of man. It can never have a soul, and it's not going to be like a little God. It's not going to be in the nature of God, but it can be incredibly useful to us. And I think that God's given us the ability to create these technologies to actually be a servant help to humankind right now. Of course, they're going to be abused, they're going to be misused, there's going to be all kinds of evil in them, just like the internet has that. But I don't participate with the internet every day in an evil way. I'm just benefiting from it, and I love it. And I think that's how we should look at AI, and that we should use it for our businesses and for our careers as much as we can.
That's amazing. Well, what a great topic. What a great real topic. And I would say this, if you're listening to this podcast and you're an AI expert and you want to help us, like write to us, and we want to interview you on Exploring the Marketplace. We want to hear more for us.
I would love that.
Wouldn't that be amazing, Sean?
Yeah.
Here's a question from Joel that somebody wrote into Exploring the Marketplace. You can go to bowlsministries.com. There's a button that says Ask Sean and Bob a Question, and you can ask your question. All right. I'd like your thoughts or input on staying the course for years of going from zero in your bank account to staying with a God idea to see it finally fulfilled, balancing the conviction of what God has spoken and the tension of life's daily financial obligations. Whoa.
Yeah, it's a hard one because it's like we expect when God gives us a mission that we're going to somehow have the beginning, middle, and end happen very quickly. And a lot of the prophecy in the Old and New Testament was for the immediate future or for the now. It wasn't for the long term. But then we see those moments where Israel is giving words and it was for future generations. I mean, it wasn't even for them. So I think there's a divine tension when you hear from God or feel like you've connected to something that's a life purpose and you know it's a God thing, to be faithful until he fulfills it, because you can't fulfill it in your own strength or your own ability. And there's a tension of like doing something towards it. You know, like when I was going to go to California, I knew I was supposed to move to California. When I was 15 years old, I felt like I had a divine moment with God. I had a prophecy from a woman about it. And then all through the 90s, I wanted to go there. I just felt like I need to get to California. And I would go out on trips and do scouting missions, take acting classes, do presenting classes, all kinds of stuff, go to churches, go to ministries, speak whenever churches invited me from California, those kinds of things. But then it was from 15 years old until 2006 when I moved there. So it was like a 15-year period before I even moved there. And then when I got there, I didn't really do what I was really called to do for the first 6 to 8 years. Wow. I did all kinds of things that I knew were God callings, but they weren't like that greater purpose. And when I started, even the greater purpose was really to produce and create media and also entertainment. And that only started in 2020. So we're dealing with from the time I was 15 till the time I'm now 50, I'm starting to walk into the greater things that I felt like God called me to when I was 15. So I feel like a lot of people in their timetable, they feel like the significance is going to happen the moment they get the word, or they're paying a price and they're waiting for that tipping point. But to me, it's the faithful that day in and day out that eventually will win that race, because everybody else gives up. And how many of our friends, we both have friends,
yeah,
Aren't even walking with God anymore, who had greater purposes that expressed than we've even talked about. I have so many Christian friends from the 90s and 2000s, early 2000s, middle 2000s, who aren't even walking with God. They had the same kind of promises and things that I have on my life, but yeah, they gave up. So I think it's the faithful. God looks at that faithfulness and goes, I can reward that faithfulness. And we're never the best ones. We're never the greatest ones. He just says, I'm going to choose them because they said yes to me. Their yes has been faithful in my relationship with them their whole life. So eventually, don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you'll bear harvest. This is in Galatians.
That's so good. I think about obedience. You know, for me, I started in my business in 1978, and it was a struggle for almost 30 years. And I was able to pay the bills, and yeah, it was harrowing and nerve-wracking and a lot of stress. And then finally, you know, God led us into some miracle jobs that took our company to the next level in 2007.
Wow.
8, 9, and 10, which was at that point, you know, in a massive recession. So God can do anything. And I think faithfulness and obedience are two things. And then, Sean, we always say this, making sure that you have a group of people around you who you're talking to, who know you, who are giving you courage and saying, yeah, yes, we still believe
this is real.
Yeah. We still believe you can do it, and following God's call that way. It's really, really hard. It's a hard question to answer. But you know, for all of us, it's different. But Sean, we've done 200, 250 interviews now, and we hear this story over and over and over again. Yeah. The people on the other side of the breakthrough, looking back, saying, God was setting me up for those 20 years to be where I am today.
Totally. And I think people who think it doesn't take 20 and 30 and 40 years because they've had one movement that was fast, it's deceptive.
Yeah.
It's like the majority of times, you're going to have a couple times in life things happen fast, but the majority of times you just got to be faithful.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Well, thanks, Joel, for that question. And remember, bowlsministries.com, ask Sean and Bob a question. Well, who's our guest today, Sean?
Well, today I'm excited to welcome Crystal Parker, who's the president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce with over 25 years of experience. She was a former executive for a Fortune 200 oil and gas company where she led teams to provide award-winning customer service to over 2.1 million customers at a time. And she's a certified DISC behavior specialist, best-selling author, and professor. Crystal also founded Intent and Impact, a consulting firm dedicated to helping businesses increase profit and employee engagement. She's so passionate about the marketplace ministry, believing that to reach the world, you first have to reach the city. Mm. And she's a devoted follower of Jesus, a wife and a mother committed to seeing faith all over the business world. I can't wait to talk to her.
Up next, Crystal Parker.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos. And this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family. And we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Welcome back. We're here with Crystal Parker, Sean. Crystal, welcome.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here today.
I'm so glad that you are here, because you have such a brilliant background of just so many different types of things you've done. And now you're working on kind of a newish endeavor, which we get to hear about. But I want you to take us on the journey, because, I mean, you know, people heard your bio. There's a lot there. Where did it start as far as you and God intersecting your business? Where did he show up first for you?
Well, he actually, I mean, to be 34 years old and running 47 gas companies on the west side of Texas, wow, and all the customer service for Texas Gas Service, you have to go, wow, that's only explainable by God, especially because I was a college dropout and started selling shelves. But the problem with that was I was a Sunday Christian. And I think that's the worst kind of Christian, mm-hmm, which is somebody that just goes to church for an hour a week, gets annoyed if the pastor goes long, and lives the rest of the week as an atheist. That was really me. But I thought I was a Christian. And so I called myself a Christian because that's what I thought that I was.
Yeah.
And so the more power, the more money, the more opportunity that I got, you know, the less and less I attributed any of it to God. It was all self-made, man-made, according to me. Now I can look back on it and see God's hand in his preparation for the journey I'm on today. Wow. But really the biggest eye-opener for me and where I really found the Lord was failure upon failure, personally. Wow. I was rich on what people would look at my bank account and say, but I was morally bankrupt. I was spiritually bankrupt. Mm. I was empty and I was broken. And so all that stuff was cover to hide the true emptiness of who I was.
Wow. Cool. Okay. So what changed? What was the moment? I know that's a loaded question, because sometimes it can be really hard moments.
Yeah, it was that moment, and you're absolutely right. And I found myself in my second divorce, mm, and my 5,000 square foot home in Windermere, Florida. and this, you know, huge home, and myself and my daughter. And there I am, a two-time failure in marriage and life. And I remember very clearly where I was in the house that day. And I actually had just started to have real Christian friends. Friends that didn't go to church on Sunday and then throw ragers, you know, like real Christian friends. And I was like, there's something different about these people. And so when I went through that hard time and personally, and I was in the house, I just remember gravity took me to my knees. And I just said, okay, God, if this whole thing is really real and you're really, really true, I fully Amen. And I accept you as my Lord. And it was the living water of Jesus Christ that just washed over me and healed me. And I knew at that moment, I never wanted to be without God, like Crystal at work and Crystal at church and Crystal here. I wanted to be fully present with God always.
So at that point, you're just recovering from your second divorce, newly saved in a, as far as like a real experiential way. What happened in the sense of like, because you end up going back to college, you end up going doing all kinds of other things. Where was that in the story?
Yeah. So when I was in working in the oil and gas field, I had great mentors along the way. And she told me, she said, you know, even though you've done well and you're growing up in your career, you still need to go back and get your undergrad. So I got my undergrad in psychology. And then once I became the executive in West Texas, there was something inside of me that said, you need to go back and get your master's. Yeah. And I kind of pushed it off. And I remember even talking to my president, the president of Texas Gas, and saying, I feel like I need to get my master's. And he looked at me and he said, Parker, you're 34 years old. You're set for life. Why on earth would you do that? I said, I don't know. I just feel like I need to. Again, guided by the Holy Spirit, but not knowing God.
Yeah.
And I went back and I started getting my master's degree. Well, the high ups, the CEO of the company, COO, heard about that one of their officers was getting her master's. They sent me to Harvard Business School.
Wow. And
crazy story, only explainable by God. They had sent me to the emerging leaders at Harvard Business School. And I'll never forget, I got a call from Harvard and they said, we noticed your resume and what you've done, and we want to take you to the senior executives leadership focus on diversity, globalization, and innovation. But we need you here next week. And that was right in the middle of a move. Everything was chaotic. I was still getting my master's. I was working 60 plus hours, traveling all the time. And I just knew that it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. And so it was just amazing how God used the experience, brought me the credentials to serve the way that I'm serving him now today.
Wow.
It seems like we talk to almost everyone we talk to, when they look back on their life, as you just said, God had a plan. They didn't know it. Maybe they were frustrated. And, you know, you were in this kind of pit of despair, but God was moving you into a place where he's using you now. And I think about, you know, favor and destiny in a believer's life. And I think about you living as a Sunday Christian, as you said, and then fully integrating into understanding, you know, more about Jesus. And what are you doing now that kind of brings that whole thing full circle?
Yeah. So one of the first sort of matters of business after that second divorce and really accepting Christ in my life, I didn't want to move back to the Midwest. I had most of my warm market was there, and I own my consulting company. And I was like, and one of the biggest challenges I had as a young executive was I worshiped work. I really did. Now I use my work as worship. But at the time, I was completely out of order. I put work over everything, success over everything, winning over everything, at the expense of everything else. And so here I am, become a single mom with a daughter that was going into sixth grade. And I said, I'm not going to be jumping on an airplane every week. I'm not leaving her. I'm prioritizing her, my family, and my relationship with the Lord. And so somebody suggested to me to check out the Christian Chamber of Commerce in Central Florida. And I said, what you said, that's a thing. And that is so cool because, you know, that's really what it's about, integrating faith and work. And so when I met with the president of the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce, we met for 2 hours. He got in his car. He drove home. He tells the story later. He called his wife and he said, God said she's the one. And it wasn't much longer that I became the president of Central Florida, Central Florida Christian Chamber, 2 months after COVID.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And that's like, he's been waiting for you. He was waiting to hand it off to somebody, it sounds like.
Yes, he wanted to retire for 5 years. He told the chamber that he was going to retire. And clearly as day, he said, the Lord said, who said you can retire? And so here this poor man was holding on to this chamber, waiting for his successor to come along. And finally, I got myself together and was ready to go.
Well, I told you right before we started, I was like, I didn't know there was a Christian Chamber of Commerce. So here we lead a podcast in the marketplace, Christian Marketplace World. That's one of the bigger podcasts. I never heard of it. I was so excited when I heard about it because I know what the Chamber of Commerce has meant for so many people. Tell us about what the vision of that is. Like, tell us about it.
Sure. So we have the local community Christian Chambers of Commerce. And, you know, it really became very obvious the need for a Christian chamber during COVID, if you will, because there was a lot of polarizing beliefs and policies that were happening to Christian business owners. And it's just exacerbated since then. We are living in a post-Christian society. If you look at the trends, we're losing this race of being able to grow the kingdom and advance the kingdom. We're losing lives to this battle. And on top of that, Christians do business different than the rest of the world. And our operating system is the Bible, the Holy Living Bible. That's the greatest book ever written on business. And so we integrate that within the chamber and teach people and help them understand that their work is an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. We strengthen Christian business. One of the ways we do that is because how do I know if a person's a Christian in business? How do I know that the dollars I'm spending with somebody are not getting poured into things that are against my values in the marketplace? And I can think of many of those things that we unknowingly spend money on that are used against us. And then lastly, we see cities transform. And so we started to grow in Central Florida despite COVID. And as we were growing, I'll never forget the first call we got was from Las Vegas Christian Chamber. And they said, you're growing. Can you help us? There's nobody that can help us. And then we helped launch West Ohio Christian Chamber. We helped launch Jacksonville Christian Chamber. Mm. We had a model for the Christian Chamber. And then it wasn't much soon after, about 3 years, the Lord tapped my shoulder and said, it's time to release Central Florida and launch the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce.
Wow. That's intense.
So what you're saying is that the Lord led you to this man. He retired a couple months later, that you started this thing, and then you started pilot programs in different cities.
Yes.
And because of who you are, the Lord led you to start the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. But the Christian Chamber of Commerce is... I love what you said about showing people businesses who are acting like believers and showing people businesses who are contrary to what we believe. That's really, how does the chamber do that?
Well, one of the ways we do it is through membership, and everybody that's there is signing a statement of faith saying that they believe in the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Bible is real. And that kind of that dissolves a lot of the challenges. It's not about theology, it's not about religion, and it's nonpartisan. Right. What we focus on is unity in Christ. And if you look at what it says in the Bible, every joint supplies. We need everybody in this game, if you will, of life right now. We need our businesses through social capital, the support. I just got off of a really important call that we have three Christian chambers in Florida. We have Central Florida, Northeast Florida Christian Chamber, and Tampa Christian Chamber. And the U.S. is headquartered here. And there's a huge ballot issue that's coming up in through Florida and 10 other states in the U.S. on it's called Amendment 4. And all of the chambers coming together with businesses to make a difference. It's a significant impact. Oh, it's
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think of just, you know, we watched over COVID and we watched over kind of the gang mentality of some of the political sides where they'll just all of a sudden a whole group of progressives will gang up against a business or gang up against an ideology, and they can put any kind of flag or symbol they want as long as it doesn't contradict the gang mentality. And so I've watched businesses and I've heard of businesses that have suffered in some major ways, whether it's like barbers who have American flags outside in certain areas. When I was in LA, I've lived in LA up until a few months ago. We had a friend who was a barber and he had an American flag and a Blue Lives Matter flag out in front. And he got over and over his windows broken, over and over other businesses. Like his landlord was saying, if you don't take those down, we're gonna find a way to evict you. And you just see, you hear that kind of stuff and you just go, and his local church didn't know how to support him because the pastor doesn't want to get political. The pastor doesn't want to get in the battle. And so I love what you're saying, because I know there's more functions than just for this. I know it's a lot broader than political issues, but I love what you're saying, because there is something about Christian business leaders supporting each other, even crowdsourcing information of what's worked for you and how have you done it? Because if Elon Musk got saved today and he's battling something like what he's going through with Brazil, where they've shut down all of his companies in Brazil, like SpaceX can't operate there right now, and they've frozen all of the accounts for SpaceX because of his value system, because of his freedom of speech values. I mean, he doesn't have a Christian Chamber of Commerce right now. He doesn't have a group of people who share the same values. He's just kind of a lone man fighting the most, I think he's the wealthiest or one of the wealthiest men in the world, fighting this battle. But I love what you're talking about, because there's something about some of the battles that God's going to take us for the sake of transformation and ideology and kingdom principles. You know, I think there needs to be that support. So how have you seen that support really help people on a local level?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's really been is an incredible business development tool for kingdom business. So for example, Lima West Ohio Christian Chamber launched because his Chamber of Commerce that he had been a member of for many years, he's a business owner, and him and his wife are the co-founders of the West Ohio Christian Chamber. Well, the Chamber of Commerce, he was logging into his profile right next to his business in the directory of his local chamber was Adam and Eve's porn shop. And he looked and did a little research, and he found that not only did they do a ribbon cutting and they welcomed them and did some marketing for them, he reached out to the leadership and said, is this the type of businesses that we want to recruit and bring in and highlight in our community? And they're like, well, this is, you know, they paid their dues. And he said, no, there's got to be another way. And so now what they do in West Ohio for any new businesses, instead of just a ribbon cutting, they do an anointing for those businesses. You can imagine the power of prayer in business. So having prayer teams and people engaged, helping the philanthropic leaders that come together in a Christian chamber, it's just absolutely transformational for cities and businesses when that happens.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so I'm envisioning there's a directory, you know, with the local chambers and maybe the national chambers, mm-hmm. and people can choose to do business with people who are part of those chambers. How many members do you have nationwide?
Whoa, that's an incredible question. We're growing very quickly. So we've launched about 14 months ago, yeah. and it's a crazy God story. It may take a bit to unpack it, but yeah. basically launched officially 14 months ago out of Central Florida. The founder of that entity registered the business 20 years ago, 21 years ago as U.S. Christian Chamber and put it underground. Didn't know what to do with it. They stewarded it for 20 years and kept the URL, kept it active, but just said, we don't know. And that's when the Lord was like, it's time. And so we launched it. But what's happened is people are coming to us to say, we want a Christian chamber in our community. Mm-hmm. People are fed up with what's happening to the persecution of Christians and Christians in business. And so they want social capital. They want to see advancement of kingdom through marketplace. And so a revival in the marketplace, we're a new wineskin, if you will. Yeah. And so within the short time, we have 12 Christian chambers in the Christian Chamber Coalition is what we formed through US Christian. And we're working with 6 new ones that are working to come active as well. We have over 200 members through just the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce. That doesn't count all these Christian chambers that are coming in. So I want to guess under 1,000 altogether businesses throughout these Christian chambers in the coalition as well.
Well, that's great. That's phenomenal for just starting just a few months ago. And it shows you the hunger that people have where they're saying, you know, we want to be a part of something, and we want to crowdsource information, support each other, pray for each other, anoint each other. I think that's huge because there hasn't been this great support when people share an idea they have maybe in their home group or in their local church, and they share, can I get some prayer? There's not always the same emphasis as someone else who's paying a price for a business and going, I've bled blood in the streets for this business. And somebody else understands that and prays for them and goes, okay, like, I'm with you. I know it's hard. There's cash flow issues. There is what, but to have that kind of support, I think we haven't seen a model of that in a long time. So I'm so grateful you're starting this. And tell us about your everyday life right now. Like, what is this impact, or what is this meant to you to change and like go from what you were doing? Cause you were doing so many different types of things to doing this with your full-time focus.
Yeah, this has really been a huge step of faith for me, because when the Lord tapped my shoulder for this, I was paid as a president. We had a great organization in Central Florida, admin support, sales support, like it was an operating business.
Yeah.
And when the Lord called me into launch the US, there's nothing there, literally. And so that step of faith from a financial perspective was significant. In terms of just saying, oh, well, and I'm newly married to my sweet husband of 2 years now.
Congratulations.
Amazing. Amen. And I say to my sweet husband, who's a volleyball coach, the Lord's called me out to do this. And by the way, there's not going to be any income for a while, and I don't know when it'll happen. So that was a huge step of faith to make that, that move, but God would confirm it for me. And this is where I feel like it's such a miracle and such a reminder that God will show up, especially if you seek him and really have discernment and obedience to wait for his timing. And so I knew that the Lord was moving me out of Central Florida. And I remember kind of being a little disobedient and saying, no, I don't think that's right. I want comfort. And I remember very clearly in my spirit, the Lord said, if you do not step out, I will not be with you. And all that flooding of remembering what it was like to be without the covering of the Holy Spirit and be with God, I was like, I'm not going to ever go back there again. And so within just not even 2 weeks later, we finished a conference, and this 16-year banking executive who was a member of the Christian Chamber came up to me and he said, Crystal, in my prayer time, God told me that I'm to be the president of the Christian Chamber of Commerce. In other words, he was saying, I'm supposed to take your job.
Yes.
He was so clueless as to why God would tell him that in his prayer. And I hadn't said a word to anybody except for my husband. I knew at that moment that God was making a way and that it was time. And I really believe that such a time as this for our nation. We've got to unite. We need the body of Christ to come together. And we've got to bend the curve of turning this from a post-Christian society to a Christian society where it's safe to operate freedom of religion and to see our Christian businesses thrive in this wonderful place we call United States of America.
Oh, wow. Well, Crystal, how do people get a hold of you? How do people start these Christian Chamber of Commerce in their own cities?
Yep, it's super easy. It's uschristianchamber.com. We have a contact us page. We have a directory there so you can see where there are Christian chambers that are part of our coalition that you can get plugged into. And feel free to just hit that contact us button, sign up for our newsletter. And if God moves in your heart, become a member and be part of this movement.
Well, this is awesome. Thanks so much for, I know you're so multifaceted and can talk about a lot of different things today, but I'm so glad you talked about this, because I think that you're filling and creating something in a very big void need that's there that I think is going to grow so fast because people need this to just support fellowship and connection to each other. And so I'm so grateful. I'm going to encourage you, our viewers, make sure to go there and visit today. If you own a business, if you're part of a business, or if you want to lead a chamber, make sure to actually take her up on this offer of going there and learning all about it, because this is something that could bring you long-term support in so many areas. I know for me personally, I needed Bob Hassan to bring me support because I didn't know how to do a lot of things. I needed some of those papas who've been far ahead of where I've been to say, hey, what do I do in this circumstance? And I know that's exactly the kind of support that I can envision this bringing, is just relationship and connection and just answered questions. So make sure to go there. And also make sure to visit us at bowlsministries.com, where you can ask Sean and Bob a question by clicking on the Ask Sean and Bob a Question sign or banner right there. As well as, we want you to download this podcast each and every week. So subscribe to it wherever you find podcasts. Crystal, it's been a joy to have you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's the end of another Exploring the Marketplace podcast, where we bring everyday people who are seeing their faith affect their career in powerful ways. Make sure to hit like on this video, hit the subscribe button and notifications so you don't miss an episode. Also, I want to hear from you. So let's talk in the comment section. See you next time.